Thank you, Brother George. And good to see you this morning. Remember, next Sunday is Father's Day. And so because we let the moms pick some songs, we'll let the dads pick next week. So since you're here at 9 o'clock, you get first dibs. So I guess if the three of you pick songs, that's what we're singing next week. So you have to fight. So I guess he does. So you can give those to Seth. Remember, check the bulletin. There's some important information, work days for different things coming up. So take note of those. And if you brought your nursery form, be sure you give it to Leslie today. Background checks is something that all folks working with children have to get done. So remember that. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Leviticus. And last week we began talking about Sabbath and the importance of having holy days rather than holidays. And, you know, our relationship with God is reflected upon in our worship. You know, we're not saved by going to church. We're not saved by being baptized. We're not saved by being a good person. We're saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only way we can be saved. And in fact, Paul tells us that even Abraham was saved by faith, not by the things that he did. It was by faith that Abraham was accounted righteous. And it's by faith you and I are accounted righteous. But when we have that righteousness on our account, when we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, our life changes. And one of the things that changes, and perhaps the most important thing that changes, is the place that God plays in our life. Before you knew the Lord, God wasn't probably really on your radar very much. And in fact, some folks, the only time they mention God is in a cuss word. But for a child of God, that's not the case. And so our relationship with God is reflected in our worship. So when, spouses stop talking to each other and they stop spending time together and things like that, that's signs of problems. And if they don't deal with it, it gets worse, doesn't it? And it's the same in our relationship with Christ, that because of what God has done for us in our life, we want to spend time with Him. We want to live a life that honors Him. And Moses here in the book of Leviticus, in these couple chapters that we're looking at for the next few weeks, tells us that one of the outflows of that is a desire to gather with God and God's people. If we don't have that desire to gather with God's people, chances are pretty good that we don't have a relationship with God. So, preacher, that's being judgy. That's just stating the fact. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And righteous and faithful people produce righteous and faithful fruit. We need to understand, and I'll talk about this more at 11 o'clock, what goes in eventually comes out. And so if we fill our time and our days with things of this world and evil things, and guess eventually what's going to come out? Evil things. And evil words, because that's what we've put in. And so Moses here reminds us, and we're going to pick up reading in verse 37 of chapter 23. It says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim, to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering and a sacrifice and a drink offerings, everything on its day beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all of your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest. On the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruits of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. What a reminder. You go back and you read earlier in those verses in this chapter. We stopped at verse 8 last time. So if you read this chapter, verses 8 through 36, Moses recounts some of the steps that they were to take for these various festivals. That one of them was to be an entire week long with bookends, Sabbath holy days, that they were to do no regular work at all on the first Sabbath, and then the eighth day they were to do it again. So that this festival was bookended by worship. God gave specific instructions about the kind of offerings they were to bring, when they were to bring them, and how they were to bring them, and they were to make wave offerings. They were to make special bread, by the way, that had leaven in it. This was leavened bread to signify praise and life and growth. And they would bring that special bread with their lambs and their sheep and their rams, and they'd wave it before the Lord. They would have a what we might call a barbecue. I mean, they had a barbecue feast going on. But it wasn't just gathering together to have a feast. It was, again, all of these things were object lessons that God gave the children of Israel, because he knew that human beings, yes, we can learn by hearing and listening, but if we hear and we see, we remember it a lot better, don't we? And if we hear it and we see it and we do it, well, my goodness, then that really has made an impact on us. As Holly and Seth and Leslie, teacher, and Sarah probably, you know, that teachers try to come up with creative things to get kids to use all of these things, so that they remember the information. The point of school, the reason Seth teaches history all day to obnoxious high school students, is so that they can memorize dates. That's not the objective. Now, sometimes they think the objective is memorizing dates so they can pass a test, but that ultimately is not the big goal. The ultimate big goal is so that those students, and by consequence us, as we were those students at one point in our life, would learn about history, the successes of the past and the failures of the past, so that we wouldn't repeat them. And sadly, what's that great old adage that's so very true, that those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it? And friend, I dare say we're seeing that in a lot of places in our country. that because we've not learned from the past and because we've not taken lessons that we should have learned, you know, 30 years ago and 100 years ago and 1,000 years ago and 5,000 years ago, God is having to teach us over and over and over again and just shaking his head. Why aren't you getting it, you dummies? And so he knocks it into, he keeps bringing us into these lessons to try to say, well, maybe this time they'll get it. But the point is not the sacrifices. The point's not the offerings. The point's not even gathering together as God's people. The point is recognizing the importance that God has in our life. In today's world, it's hard, and I'm preaching to the choir here, I know, at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, that it's hard enough to get people to just show up one time a week, much less twice a week, much less you plan a revival. And they used to have revivals that lasted one whole week, two whole weeks. And now we had trouble just getting it going for 3 days. They say, well, I can't, preacher, I can't, you know. But God, and can I tell you something? People in Leviticus, in Moses' day, were just as busy as we are today. Now, they were busy with different things, and different things demanded their attention. But they were just as busy. So being busy is not an excuse to not worship God. I wonder what Jesus would have, where we would have been if Jesus said, I don't think I'm ready to go. I'm too busy to go down to earth to live a perfect life. Nah, let's just hold off on that. We would all be in big trouble because he's the only hope for any of us. And so, yes, sometimes our worship and our relationship with God is inconvenient. And maybe that's part of the point. If our relationship with God and our worship of God is always convenient, and it doesn't cost us anything, maybe it's not actually God that we're worshiping. God does make demands on our life. But the thing is, the demands that God makes on our life are for our own good. And so, again, the point is not offerings, it's not the celebration. The point is recognizing the importance of our relationship with God in our life. When they harvested, they had to celebrate. They came to worship. They had times throughout the entire year where they would not only gather together on the Sabbath, but they would gather together for special days to remember the various things that God had done for them. And the first one that's mentioned is the Passover. Well, what was the Passover? Why do they celebrate that? Well, they celebrated to remember that God spared his people. You remember that 10th plague in Egypt? What was that 10th plague? Firstborn, the death of the firstborn. And God said that when the death angel sees the blood around the door, he will pass over. And that's why it's called Passover. Imagine that. And any house, God said, even an Israelite house that didn't have that blood over the door, had experienced the death of the firstborn in that house. And they remember that, and they still celebrate that today. They're still looking for the Messiah. In fact, they set an empty place for the Messiah, as if saying that this might be the year that he comes and he joins us. But the thing is, he's already here. He's already come. And he's coming again. And so, what does it matter? What's the point of it all? I think there's three things. The first is that our free salvation requires sacrifice. Just as Israelites were chosen by God not because of what they'd done, but because of God's grace and mercy, God chooses all mankind. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. It's what the Bible says. It's what we believe. And yet, that free gift of salvation, just like our freedom in America is not free, over our almost 300 years of existence, there have been thousands of men and women that have given their life and shed their blood so that our nation can be free. Well, our spiritual freedom and our relationship with Christ is not free either. God's made clear in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Exodus that the price of sin is blood. Sin demands a sacrifice. But by the way, it wasn't all sin offerings that they made, was it? Now, that was some of the offerings that they made. But they brought thanksgiving offerings and peace offerings and wave offerings, all kinds of different offerings. And again, not because they had to, but because they desired to. Because they recognized that what God had given them was worth them giving something. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So our sacrifice is not a dead sacrifice like in the Old Testament, like here in Leviticus. Jesus' blood was shed and that was sufficient for once and for all. It was sufficient for me, and it was sufficient for you, and it was sufficient for all the whosoevers. But there's still a sacrifice required. I love Leslie. She loves me. And sometimes I do things I don't want to because she wants to. And sometimes she does things she doesn't want to do. But she does them anyway because I want to. She watched the Star Wars trilogy movies with me. She won't tell you, but she enjoyed them. She liked them. Yeah, I went and made pottery with her. See how that works? Now, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have gone and made pottery. There's plenty of other stuff for me to do in the mountains. Why did I do that? Because I love her. And if we love God, not just say that we love Him, but if we really do love Him, the sacrifices that we make really are not hard to make. It shouldn't be a struggle. It shouldn't be hard for us to want to come to church. It shouldn't be hard for us to love others and to be kind and to tell others about Jesus. It should be a joy for us. And when it becomes a drudgery, that's a sign that there's something wrong somewhere in our relationship with God. And it's best we get it fixed sooner rather than later. And so our free salvation, salvation that doesn't cost us anything to receive, does cost us something. And that was the point. They went to worship every week on the Sabbath. Why? God was still there. They read the same, they read the prophets, they read the psalm, they read this, and they lit candles and blah, They just did it last week. Why do we have to do it again? Well, the point is to remind us that God is always with us. And He's not just our God on Sunday, but He's our God through the week. And that's why He says there's a few times of year where it wasn't just a one-day deal, where you could just pop in, give your offering, say a prayer, and pop back out and, you know, get to the buffet before all the Methodists did. It was so that the people would remember that God was a central part of their life. I don't know if, but I know if I'm not reminded of things sometimes, I forget it. An old adage, out of sight, out of mind. And so when something's really important and I need not to forget it, I'll put it on my calendar and I'll set an alarm. And I usually tell Leslie, remind me about such and such. Remind me to do, why? Because it's important, I don't want to forget. And I know that by human nature and because it's just the way we are, if we don't, you know, be intentional about things, it's not going to get done. And so our free salvation requires sacrifice, but now it's not a dead sacrifice. It's not a blood sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. And that living sacrifice, Paul says, is our reasonable act of worship. It's our service to the Lord. And so the first thing is our free salvation requires sacrifice, but our free salvation also requires stopping. And that's the second thing, that not only is there sacrifice required, but there's stopping. It's intentional that God says, you know what, when you come to, it's a day of rest. When you celebrate these feasts, you're to have days of solemn rest where you do no work. It became, you know, burdensome regulation. You know, they had it, you know, they could only walk so far in a day, and they couldn't go any further than that because that was work. They could do this, but they couldn't do that, you know, and so. But why did God do that? Well, because God understood and understands, because He created us, that we need rest, that our bodies need time to recuperate. And a day of worship is, you know, even if it's Sunday, if it's Saturday, it should be not only a day of worship, but it should be a day of rest. The point is not just go to church and then do whatever else you want with the rest of the day. The point is, have a day of rest. Because God knows when you don't, you'll wear out a lot quicker than what He designed you to. Because our bodies can't keep going and going and going and going and going. Eventually, it's going to break down. And if we don't get rest, our body's going to make sure it gets rest. And we're not going to want it to have to make us rest. Because that's not pleasant. But it also helps build somewhat of a routine. And I think God is a God of order. God knows that because He created us, that we need some order. We need some consistency. Why did they have to go every Saturday? Because they needed to be reminded that God was always there for them. Every time that they went, whether it was on the Sabbath or whether it was on one of these festival days, guess what they found? They found that God was always there with them, and God met with them. Just like God meets with us when we'll stop and we'll take time to worship Him. One of the meaningful times, one of the great fruits of church, and we're missing it this year because of this virus, this camp. Every year, kids get saved at camp. There's church kids that get saved at camp in the summer. It's not because they haven't heard the gospel all through the year, but they've heard it and those seeds have been planted, but they've been so busy running around and, you know, doing different things that kids do and that adults do. that it's when you get off into the woods where there's no television, and, you know, you're there, you know, you have fun, but you know, you go to Bible class, you can go to chapel, and those are times when God can really speak to folks. Why is that? Not because there's something special about woods. It's because it's when we get alone and we get rid of the busyness and the junk of this life that it's quiet enough for us to hear God speak. And so there's this routine, there's this requirement of stop, not because so that we earn salvation, but because we are saved, because we do belong to the Lord. And so there's times through the year and times through the week where God says, all right, regardless of whatever else is on your schedule, you put everything else off your calendar and let's just get together. Now, that should happen on the Lord's Day, on Sabbath, when God's children gather together, but it should happen through the week, too. That we should take time in the Psalms and Jesus and the Old Testament, the New Testament, give us a pretty good clue that the morning is a pretty good time. It's a good way to start your day, to start them with the Lord. And so that means that we have to intentionally carve out some time. It might mean that we have to set our alarm for 15 or 20 minutes earlier in the morning so that we have time to spend with Him before we have to rush off for the day. There's times through the day where we just need to stop, take a break, and pray, and read our Bible. Some of you deal with the public all the time, all through the day. And I guarantee you there's times when you need to stop and get a little quiet because there's a lot of silly people in the world that do dumb things and say dumb things. And that's good. If you don't have time to recharge and kind of take stock and center yourself and remember who you are and whose you are, your fuse gets a lot shorter, doesn't it? And you're prone to blow up on somebody and be a bad witness. And so our free salvation requires us to stop sometimes and spend time with the Lord. And then lastly this morning, our free salvation requires service. It wasn't an option for God's people to gather together. It wasn't an option for them to care for others. That God gave, you remember the instruction in this chapter to farmer, and He said, when you plant your fields, you know, plant a little extra. When you go to harvest, don't plow every row. Well, that's counterintuitive to every single one of us as humans, isn't it? Human being, we say, which reminds me, we forgot those onions lesson. back to the regular schedule program. When we are called to serve others. We're called to share. Jesus was Lord and Lord and King of Kings, but yet what does He say in the Gospel of Mark? He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And if Jesus Christ came to serve, you better believe you and I have no right to say we're above serving others. But service was even a principle in the Old Testament, as we see here in the book of Leviticus. God told the farmer, He said, don't plow every field, you know, every row. Leave the outskirts. And He even says, don't come back and pick up what you drop in the in-betweens. Leave those for the strangers and for the poor. And so, God builds into His instructions not just how the Israelites were to live on the Sabbath day. And God is not just concerned that we as Christians know how to live on Sunday. But God's point in this chapter of Sabbaths and holy days was to help us recognize the importance of our relationship with Him, to recognize that all we have comes from Him, and to recognize the importance of serving others. We need one another. We need to be around one another. But we also need to know that we have people that have our back. That when we have a need, there's people we can call on. That when we have a prayer need, there's people that we can tell. And we know, we don't have to wonder, well, are they going to just say, yeah, I'll pray for you? Or are they really going to pray? We need people like that. All of us do. And by the way, all of us need to be people like that. And so what's the point? The point is salvation is free and available to everyone. But salvation requires some things. It's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's not a political, ticket to climb some kind of social ladder. There's some responsibilities that we have as God's people. And as we'll see at 11, God gets upset with us, and God's not pleased when we don't live for Him. Not just in our outward, but in our inward. Because God, again, knows that what's on the inside is eventually going to come out. All of us look pretty sharp this morning. We got, our ties reasonably straight, and our socks hopefully match, and our shoes hopefully match. A lot of people that have their stuff put together on the outside. But God says, it's not the outside that really matters. You remember what He told Samuel? He said, man looks on the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. Because God knows on the outside, you can have, cross necklace, cross earrings, cross hat, whatever, you can have the cross all over. But it's not necessarily what's on the outside. A lot of people look the part, but on the inside, they're a torn-up mess. On the inside, they struggle and they wrestle with a relationship with the Lord and serving Him. And so, God is not upset when we struggle. And God's not bothered when we struggle. What He is bothered by is when we have those struggles and we don't come to Him and deal with them. Because He'll help us fix it, to set it right. We can't do it on our own. I've known a lot of people that have battled with addictions. They say, well, I know I need to get and I need to get things straightened up in my life before I come to church, preacher. When I tell you that if anybody, and I don't care who you are, or what your last name is, or how much money you have, if you wait to put things right in order before you come to the Lord, you ain't ever going to come. Because we're never going to be right without the Lord's help and without Him putting us back together. And so that's the point. That's why God says, listen, it is important that you do these things. It's important that on one time of an occasion, you take 8 days and you set them aside for me. On that first and that eighth day, they were to do absolutely no work, but in the in-between days, they were to bring offerings every day. they were to bring that the tabernacles or the tents that they would, and they still do that. They pitch little lean-tos, and I don't think they actually sleep in, but they go out and they sit in them through the day, and they have various lessons and do things today, even in the Jewish synagogues. Why do they? To remind them, God provided shelter for them in the wilderness. Yes, they wandered, but God delivered them, and God went with them. And so all these festivals have a point and a reminder. The Feast of Pentecost, Passover, Day of Atonement, all these things had things that pointed them to God and ultimately pointed them to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ would fulfill all of these feasts. And what a wonderful thing that is. So I hope God reminds us what the point is. The point is not just going to church, having perfect attendance. Not just doing the good things, not just doing right. The point is keeping God in the center of our life. Because when He gets out of center, every other part of our life gets out of kilter as well. Why? Because God designed us that way. He created us to need Him. I hope God will help us and encourage us with that. So let's stand together. We'll be dismissed to Sunday school this morning. And Brother Carl, would you dismiss us in prayer?